What is the sixth commandment of God? The sixth commandment of God is, thou shalt not commit adultery. By the sixth commandment, we are commanded to be pure and modest in our outward behavior. And as we will see, the ninth commandment deals with these same virtues of purity and modesty, but in our mind, in thought and desire. So once again, the sixth commandment commands us to be pure and modest in our outward behavior. What does the sixth commandment forbid? The sixth commandment forbids all impurity and immodesty in words, looks, and actions, whether alone or with others. Now, what is a sin of immodesty? A person commits a sin of immodesty when he is guilty of some thought, word, or deed that tends toward a sin of impurity. Sins of impurity, if they are fully deliberate, are always mortal sins. Sins of immodesty would be mortal or venial, depending on the particular gravity of the individual sin. Why are sins of impurity and immodesty especially dangerous? Sins of impurity and immodesty are especially dangerous because our nature is strongly inclined toward them, they are easily committed, and they soon develop into habits which are very hard to break. So note that the Catechism here tells us three reasons why we should especially avoid these sins. First of all, because our nature is strongly inclined to them. And it just so happens today we have the reading from St. Paul to the Galatians where he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. Meaning that we have this struggle, and this struggle especially deals with the temptations against purity. That is perhaps the strongest area where our fallen human nature manifests itself. And we know that this struggle and that this inclination come from original sin. And that even though through holy baptism, the stain of original sin is washed from the soul, nevertheless, there remains what we call concupiscence, the inclination to evil. And it is very strong. And that is why the Catechism here tells us that these sins are especially dangerous, first of all, because our nature is strongly inclined toward them. We have to be vigilant. We have to fight the good fight through prayer, through self-denial, through reception of the sacraments, and avoiding dangers. But we have to be aware of the fact that we have this weakness, especially young people who have even a greater struggle. But everyone, at whatever their age, will experience this struggle between the spirit and the flesh. The Catechism also mentions that these sins are especially dangerous because our nature is strongly inclined towards them, and they are easily committed, and third, they soon develop into habits which are very hard to break. And that we must especially take note of, especially for young people, that if they fall into the habit of committing sins against purity, it can easily become a very strong habit, a habit that will be very difficult to break. Now, this next question is perhaps the most important here. And it says, what are the chief dangers to the virtue of chastity? The chief dangers to the virtue of chastity are idleness, sinful curiosity, bad companions, drinking, immodest dress, and indecent books, plays, and motion pictures. So let's take each of these dangers that we might know what to avoid. The first one the Catechism mentions is idleness. Idleness is a great danger for us because our mind is not going to be completely at rest. During our waking moments, and for that matter, during our sleep, our mind is going. And so we can't have a time when our mind is completely blank. It's going to be filled with something. And if we're not doing something constructive, then the temptations of the devil and of our fallen human nature can insinuate themselves very easily into the mind. So avoiding idleness by work, by wholesome recreation, by prayer, by good reading, activities that will keep us busy and keep our mind away from the danger of temptations. Not that activity will ever completely free us from the danger of temptation, but it is a very good help to avoid temptations by keeping ourselves occupied, our mind and body, engaged in good, wholesome activities. The second danger the Catechism mentions is sinful curiosity. Something that our fallen human nature inclines us to is to want to know things. And I remember one priest in this regard said, even a child knows that if there's a mud puddle, you don't need to fall into the mud puddle to know what will happen if you do fall into it, that you'll get dirty. But somehow the human nature, our fallen human nature, has this dangerous curiosity where we want to know. You watch a television program and you can see that it's not a good program. Instead of turning it off right away, you might think to yourself, well, I just want to see what's next. That's a curiosity which is dangerous and can be very easily sinful. To look at things, to read things, which will be a danger because of curiosity. We must overcome that dangerous curiosity. The third danger to avoid is bad companions. How very important this point is, especially for parents, to be careful of the companionship of their children, to very closely keep an eye on and guard over their children's friends and associates. Because we very easily can be led into the habits, the way of speaking, the way of thinking of those with whom we associate. So therefore, we should associate with those that will lead us closer to God, that will be a good example for us, that will be uplifting for us, and to avoid those who will drag us down. The next danger it mentions is drinking. Because even through a moderate consumption of alcohol, our resistance, our natural tendency, you might say, to fight off certain things is minimized. We feel relaxed and therefore can be susceptible to temptations. And so that's why alcohol is associated with, or is often mentioned, consumption of alcohol is associated with the sixth commandment, because very often, especially immoderate consumption of alcohol, leads to sins against the sixth or ninth commandments. The next one it mentions is immodest dress. Because not only by immodest dress can oneself experience temptations, but of course be an occasion of sin for someone else, and therefore be responsible for the sins of others. And finally, the Catechism here mentions the media. Indecent books, plays, motion pictures, and of course we can add to that through radio, television, videos, and even nowadays the internet. All of these various media can be sources of very strong temptation, occasions of sin that we must avoid. Anything that will be for us a danger. So this is an important question. Again, avoiding the chief dangers: idleness, sinful curiosity, bad companions, drinking, indecent dress, and indecent books, plays, and motion pictures. That is one of the most important means of practicing the virtue of purity, is to stay away from danger. But of course, in addition to that, we must use the means of preserving the virtue of chastity. And that's the very next question of the Catechism. What are the chief means of preserving the virtue of chastity? The chief means of preserving the virtue of chastity are to avoid carefully all unnecessary dangers, to seek God's help through prayer, frequent confession, Holy Communion, and assistance at Holy Mass, and to have a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So let's review again briefly these means that the Catechism points out. So first of all, avoiding dangers. Second, to seek God's help through prayer. We should have a regular daily prayer life, but also to pray ejaculations, those short prayers that can be said briefly, that we could say from time to time during the day. You have a temptation to get rid of it by immediately saying a prayer to our Blessed Mother, to recite a Hail Mary or some other prayer. A beautiful prayer is that which is contained on the miraculous medal that Our Lady herself gave to us. And that is the words, O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee. That's a beautiful prayer for purity and to fight off temptations that we can recite during the day. Many have the practice, beautiful practice, of reciting three Hail Marys in the morning and three Hail Marys at night in honor of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception for purity. So again, avoiding dangers, to seek God's help through prayer, frequent confession, and Holy Communion. There is no means of strength more powerful, that is greater, than a frequent reception of the sacraments of penance and the Holy Eucharist to fortify our soul. Assistance, devout assistance at Holy Mass, and to have a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I might add certain saints that are known for their purity, Saint Joseph, Saint Philomena, Saint Agnes, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, certain saints that were conspicuous for their careful preservation of the virtue of chastity. And so we should develop a devotion to our Blessed Mother, to turn to her frequently in our temptations, and as well as perhaps a saint that you feel especially drawn to. Finally, it mentions here, what are the words of our Lord that should inspire us to practice purity? And that would be the words of our Lord in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. There is a particular closeness, you might say, between those who are pure of heart and Almighty God. They are closer to Him. They are drawn to God, and God is drawn to them. God has an especial love for pure souls that seriously, conscientiously fulfill these commandments. Now we go on to the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment of God is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. By the ninth commandment, we are commanded to be pure in thought and in desire. Now, mere thoughts about impure things are not sinful in themselves, but such thoughts are dangerous. We have to remember this, lest we be led into scrupulosity, that a temptation is not a sin, no matter how strong it is, and no matter how frequently it occurs. Someone may be tempted often, but that person has not sinned by the mere fact of experiencing temptations. Unless the person willfully entertains the temptation, takes pleasure in it, or gives into a sinful desire. Sometimes we can be plagued with temptations, but these of themselves are not sins. As long as we turn to prayer and we fight them off, there is no sin. Or perhaps there is a venial sin if a person begins to toy with the temptation and does not repel it immediately. When unchaste thoughts and desires enter our mind, we should accustom ourselves to pray immediately to our Lord and to His Blessed Mother for strength to overcome the temptation. And as I mentioned, of course, ejaculatory prayers, and perhaps the best prayer that should be mentioned is merely to recite the holy names of Jesus and Mary. These names are so powerful, these sacred names, and they strengthen the soul. And St. Alphonsus Liguori especially recommends repeating the holy names of Jesus and Mary over and over in time of temptation. And he even guarantees, he says, if you do that, you will not fall into sin. If you continue to repeat these holy names until the temptation leaves. And finally, the Catechism says, what proof have we that we have not consented to an unchaste thought or desire? If we pray in time of temptation, we have a good proof that we have not consented. So let us be conscientious about resisting temptations. And also, even though we live in an age where there is so much laxity around us, there is such indecency, especially during the summertime, during the warmer weather, there are so many occasions of sin through the television, the various media, that it is possible to maintain the virtue of purity, to avoid these dangers insofar as it's possible, and then to strengthen ourselves against danger, to practice custody of the eyes, to turn away our eyes from indecency. But it is possible, with the grace of God, to remain out of sin, not only to remain free from mortal sin, but to remain even free from venial sin if we do our part to cultivate the beautiful virtues of purity and modesty, to avoid danger, and to turn to God through prayer and the sacraments in time of danger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.